First Chronicles chapter 28, we'll read the first 10 verses together and we'll flick over to chapter 29 and verse 26. But first of all, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 1. David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that minister to the king by course, the captains over the thousands and captains over the hundreds and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God had said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. However, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments, as at this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. Thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Then in chapter 29, down to verse 26. "Thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel. The time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries." Amen. We know God will add his blessing to this reading from his word. In our last study, as we looked at David, the man after God's own heart, we had been looking at 2 Samuel 22, and we noted David's psalm of thanksgiving. He's coming near the end of his life. He has come through many different experiences, times of trial, times of temptation, times of tragedy. Yet with all of those things, David had also known great blessings from the hand of God throughout his own lifetime. And in 2 Samuel 22, we noted that David had great cause to praise his God despite all that he had been through. Because David had been aware of God's presence, so much so that he was able to say, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock, and him will I trust." David was aware of God's leading. And despite the changing circumstances that confronted him, he believed in a sovereign God. He believed that God was interested in him and that God had a plan and a purpose for David's life. Beloved, for all of us, there are times when we wonder about certain things, especially if life does not turn out the way we expected. And maybe some of us are there just now and our circumstances are unclear. Well, remember that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives too. And whatever is unclear to us at this present time, it's all clear to Him, and you and I need to keep trusting. We noted that David was aware of God's strength. He was a man who had learned to find his resources in God and in God alone. For you and me today, it's when we lose our self-sufficiency that we realize that God alone is sufficient to meet our need. It's often when we are at our weakest point and depending on God alone that we're at our strongest and we prove the sufficiency of God's grace. Now today we conclude our studies on David's life and we want to note the end of an important era. As far as David's life is concerned, I think it's fair to say that he was the greatest king that Israel ever had. And despite others who followed in his footsteps, perhaps none were able to fill his shoes. And here as we come to these verses I've read to you in 1 Chronicles, we see here the close of David's life. And we hear David speaking not just to the crowd who were assembled that day, but also to his young son Solomon, who would take up the reins. And what David says is both challenging and helpful. And I want to mention three simple things today. And I hope that in some measure we will find something that will challenge us too. First of all, I want you to know David's reflection on a field dream. David's reflection on a field dream. No matter who we are, I'm absolutely sure that when many of us reach the end of our journey through life, and when we look back at the life that we have lived, I'm sure there may well be many things that we would have done differently. We may well have regrets about things that happened to us that we wished had never happened at all. We may well have done some things that we deeply regret. And even though we have known God's forgiveness for those things, somehow they still cause us some anxiety and have caused us many sleepless nights. We may well look back on our failures and our disappointments and only long that if we could have turned the clock back, then we would have done some things differently. Well, you've heard me say it before, beloved, there is a problem with that, and the problem is this. That for you and me, life is not a rehearsal. And there are so many different experiences that we have all had to come through in life. And what's done is done. There can be no turning back the clock and saying, well, when I get a chance to do this again, this is the way I'm going to do it. Life is not like that. We come this way only once. Before we leave the scene of time and we finish our journey and the race is run and we slip out into eternity. It's what we do now that counts. And whatever the failures of the past and whatever the regrets and whatever the things that have held us back, the point is that from this moment now, we ought to be thinking ahead and we ought to be looking to the future and we ought to be saying, forgetting those things which are behind, I'm now going to press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. You cannot change the past, nor can I. But we can grasp the opportunities for the future. Here's David reflecting on his life. And as he comes to the end of that life, there seems to be still in his heart what I would call an unfulfilled ambition, a dream that was never quite fulfilled in David's life. You'll remember that earlier on in his reign, David had wanted to build a temple for the Lord. In fact, he had all his plans in place, and he was very clear in his own mind what should be done and how it should be done and what the end result should be. He wanted to build a temple for the Lord. And God said to him, David, you won't build it. That's not your job. That will be left in the hands of another. And of course, you and I know it was Solomon. But there's no doubt that David had often thought about that. His heart had been set on the task, and he was disappointed at the time when God told him he wouldn't build the temple. And now he comes to the end of his life. He has given 40 years of service to the people of Israel, and he's still thinking about the dream that was never fulfilled in his life. Look at verse 1 in chapter 28. David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, the captains of the companies, the captains over thousands and hundreds, the stewards over all the substance, his sons, officers, mighty men, valiant men, all of them unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had it in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Now here's David standing before this great company of the great and the mighty in Israel. And he's lived his life. He's now an old, experienced king. And he's speaking to all of them some parting words. And there is no doubt that David still carries in his heart the great desire that he had to build a temple for the Lord. For he actually says here, regarding that, he had everything in place. He had made ready for the building. But David wouldn't build it. And you cannot help but feel that this aged king found that to be very difficult, because for David, this was an unfulfilled dream. Now it has to be said on David's part that when God initially said to him that he wouldn't do it, David accepted that. David moved on. There was no outward resentment. But he's now coming to the end of his life, and this unfulfilled dream is still very much upon his heart. Beloved, as you and I journey through life, and knowing that one day that you and I will come to the end of that life, and we will leave behind this scene of time, whatever is meant to us, whatever we've gained within it, the fact is that one day we'll leave the scene of time behind. Make sure we don't leave it with regret. Make sure we don't come to the end of life with unfulfilled dreams. Life's not a rehearsal. As believers in Jesus Christ, we surely should want to give our best to God at all times. And if we do that, and if we live life to the best of our ability and to the glory of God, then there will be no regret. I've heard people say to me often, Pastor, if I had it to do again, and I was only a younger man or I was a younger woman, I'm telling you, Pastor, I'd do things differently. I remember speaking to an elderly man on one occasion. He sat in the same place as David, with an unfulfilled dream. He felt as a young man that God had called him to the mission field, but because of his job and his family situation at that time, he said no to God. However, the desire to serve God on the mission field never left him.
But the time never seemed to be right. And after he reached retirement, he lived with this great regret that he had never stepped out in faith and he had never served the Lord and took him at his word. What a regret. Sometimes opportunities come our way only once. And as you and I look at life today, and I'm sure we all have regrets about many things, we need to make sure that if there are things that we need to do, do them now. If the Lord has laid something in our hearts, do it now. Don't go through life and waste a lifetime and die with an unfulfilled dream or with regrets because you didn't grasp the opportunity. Do what you can. In fact, do all that you can and do it now. Because now is the only time that any one of us are guaranteed. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and looking back over many, many years, thinking to yourself, Pastor, I know exactly what you're saying and where you're coming from. I've wasted too many years. I've been too selfish and too self-centered in my walk with God. I've always put myself first rather than Him. And I'll come to the day, Pastor, when I'll wish I'd given Him more. Well, you can't change the past. But you can do something for the days to come. And you can make the best of the rest that God has given to you. David's reflection on a failed dream. He wouldn't build the temple. Here's the second thing, David's wise counsel to a young son. David turns then from his own disappointment with life and he turns his attention to his son Solomon, the young man who will lead the people after he's gone. He has some wise words for Solomon. In fact, the more I read these verses, the more I think of David and what he says to Solomon. It creates in my mind a very emotional picture. Look at verse 9 and 10 of 1 Chronicles 28 for a moment. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now. For the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. One hand, David may have been disappointed that his own dream had been unfulfilled. But on the other hand, he's delighted that his son Solomon would have the privilege of not just building the temple, but of leading God's people Israel. Now just think of the scene for a moment. Here's David with all his experiences of life. He's about to hand over the reins to his successor. He's looking back over 40 years in leadership. With all the ups and downs that had brought to him, and you and I have journeyed with him through some of them. But with all the lessons he has learned, he now seeks to impart wisdom and counsel and courage to young Solomon. Because David knows these words will be the last he'll give to Solomon before he dies. And he chooses them very carefully. And there are a number of things worth noting. Because what is true of Solomon here is true for all of us today who profess to know Christ. Three simple things. Firstly, he speaks about Solomon's knowledge of God. David says to him, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. I often wondered what David meant by that. Perhaps after 40 years of kingship, having worked with God's people and warring with neighboring nations, Maybe David feels that some of his own failures had been brought about because of his own neglect in his walk with God. Perhaps after all his service as king, he realized that no man would be successful without focusing on his relationship with God. But whatever's in David's mind, as he begins his counsel, he says well and wisely to Solomon, "Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father." This is a man after God's own heart, speaking to a son that he loved. And he says, "Solomon, above all things, you stay focused on your God. You keep your relationship with him one of sweetness and intimacy. Solomon, my son, know thou God." What a challenge that is to those of us who are parents today. How often we're called to give advice to our children about so many different aspects of life. We have to direct them in family matters. We have to direct them in their academic lives. We have to help them and counsel them with their friendships and their social lives. But whatever the directions we give, whatever the counsel we offer, we should never be afraid to direct them in the ways of godliness. Oh, I know there's no guarantee they'll follow us, nor the God whom we serve, nor that they'll ever walk in godly ways. But what should concern us more than anything else about them is that they know God, is that they walk with God, is that they know what God demands from them. David says, "Solomon, my son, know thou God." Sometimes today we're more concerned about our children academically than we are spiritually. Sometimes we'll push them to the limit. Some of them almost a breaking point to be what we want them to be. We ever sat down and thought about what God might want them to be? That is far more important. What a challenge this is to those of us who are Christians today. After all the years we have walked with God, do we know him? Whether those years this morning are many or few, do we really know him? I've just finished a little book. I've read it before. The Knowledge of the Holy. And I'd have to say today my knowledge is very small when I consider all that God is in himself. Solomon, know your God. Know your God. How well do I, as a Christian, know my God today? Could you say, as a believer in Jesus Christ, that your walk with God is one of sweetness, one of intimacy? Could we look back this morning and say that we have made progress spiritually? That our relationship with God over these latter years has deepened and developed? Or could it be that we know everybody else and everything about everybody else and we don't know God? Where are we? Where am I in my walk with God today? And there's a challenge here for some of us who are not Christians at all. Because some of us have never started the walk of faith. Some of us have never entered the race that I talked with for the children for a few moments. In other words, we do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And it might be you're sitting here today, you're not a Christian, and you say, well, Pastor, listen for a moment. I have far, far too many needs in my life at this present moment of time to ever consider my need of Jesus Christ. I say to you very lovingly, the greatest need you have is of Jesus Christ. That's your greatest need. Because what you do with Jesus Christ in time will determine where you'll be in eternity. And if you ever hope to be in heaven, you'll need Christ as your Savior. If you ever hope to have your sins forgiven, you'll have to trust Him, the one who died at the cross for your sins. If you ever hope to have the sin question dealt with in your life, you'll need Christ. He speaks about Solomon's knowledge of God. You know, he speaks about Solomon's service for God. He says, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. I love that little word and in the statement. For there are many today who know God, but they're not serving. There are many today who talk about God in glowing terms, about intimacy, and they don't do anything to further the cause of the kingdom. Solomon, he says, know God and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Now, David was the right man to tell him this. He's a man of vast experience. He knew what it was to walk with God. He knew what it was to walk away from God. He knew what it was to fall into sin. He wasn't perfect, but he was deeply committed to God. He wanted Solomon to focus on God continually, not to make the same mistakes he made. He wanted Solomon to serve God with all his heart and with a willing mind. And he would have done that had he followed his father's example. As you and I stand before God with all the blessings life has brought to us, and reflect on all the goodness of God toward us, am I, as a Christian, serving Him with all my heart and with a willing mind? For some Christians today, there's very little service rendered. Commitment is strange to their vocabulary. He speaks about Solomon's need of God. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. If thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. What a task Solomon had. Stepping into the shoes of a man who for 40 years had led the people of Israel through thick and thin. And he's a young, inexperienced man, taking on a difficult task, starting out on a remarkable journey. And his father simply says to him, Solomon, you'll need God, so don't forsake Him. You'll need God. If you walk with God, Solomon, He'll walk with you. If you depend on God, He'll be with you all the way. If you trust Him and obey Him, He'll be with you until your work is finished. I think we all need to remember that as we journey through life, do we not? Must never lose our sense of need. Must never go a warfaring in our own strength, never depending on our own abilities, no matter how gifted we are. Not allow self-sufficiency to take us away from God. We need God. If you forget everything else I've said this morning, and you probably will, individually and collectively, don't forget that. We need God. If we seek him, he'll be found of us. And if we forsake him, he'll forsake us. David's reflection on a field dream, he wouldn't build the temple. David's wise counsel to a young man, take heed to your walk with God. And here's the third thing, and I'll finish quickly. David's acknowledgement of a faithful God. Turn for a moment to 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 13. You read it. I'll just mention it in passing and close. It says that David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And he goes on to speak of God in the most glowing of terms. He's reflected on his own disappointment. He's imparted wise words of counsel to young Solomon. But now he blesses the Lord and he gives thanks to the Lord who had been so faithful to him. You only have to read those verses from 10 to 13 to see this aged king lost in praise before God, responding in love to the God who had loved him, blessing the God who had blessed him so abundantly, acknowledging the goodness of God and thankful for every provision, grateful for the hand of God upon him, and so much so that he must not only thank God publicly, but he must tell this congregation before him, there's no God like his God because he's faithful in every way. What a way to finish your life. What a way to hand over the reins to another man. What a way to depart, focused on God, praising the Lord, grateful for all the blessings of life. And then we read, he died in good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon reigned in his stead. What a man David was. A man after God's own heart. What a model his life was. And Solomon could learn much from him. But what a faithful God his God was. He was faithful in every way. And David publicly acknowledged that. And so ends our little look at David, the man after God's own heart. Failures, yes, just like you and me. But his life was one of purpose and richly blessed of God. May yours and mine be the same. Let's pray. Father, we have journeyed with David and we have looked at his life and learned lessons from his battles and his blessings. And today we come to the end of his life and we see this man imparting wise counsel, reflecting on an unfulfilled dream, but praising the name of his faithful God. Father, would you help us, whatever the past, to grasp the opportunities of the future, to do what we can and to do it now. Will you help us to take heed to our own walk with God? And will you write it upon our hearts often? We need you. May that keep us humble and prayerful and our hearts filled with praise. For Jesus' sake.